What is going on, guys? I am the Solid Monster, and this is your NXT New Year's Evil 2022 review for January 4th. The torch has been passed. The last remnants of the black and gold NXT are officially dead. Bron Breakker is the new NXT champion, defeating Tommaso Ciampa. And Tommaso Ciampa did not just lose tonight. Tommaso Ciampa did something that we usually don't see him doing. He tapped out. A decisive win. He put this guy over strong in the main event, which is really what it was designed to do. Get him over in the strongest possible way. We knew this day was coming. Doesn't make it any less sad to see. Coming to terms with the fact that the old NXT is officially dead and buried. But it was very poetic. It was very telling when you watch the entrances for that main event tonight and you saw Bron Breakker quite literally kick the X from the old NXT black and gold logo, kicked right through it, broke in two pieces. Tommaso Ciampa comes out to the ring. He stops in the aisleway. He gazes down at the broken pieces of the X, looking like a disappointed dad. It's very sad. Very sad to see what was left of what, you know, that era that Triple H put together with that roster and just the look and the feel of the show. To see it officially buried once and for all, you know, pouring the dirt on top of it, saying a few words, putting flowers down by the grave. That's really what tonight was. It was the passing of a torch. It was the beginning of a new era. The Bron Breakker era. A move that I was in favor of. I was in favor of it back in Halloween Havoc. This was inevitable that he was going to be anointed as the heir apparent to the throne. He is now the king. He has ascended to the throne. He is the star of the future. He should not be as good as he is for the level of experience that he has had in wrestling. You know, I've been singing Bron Breakker's praises for a while now. The guy's got it all. He's got the look. He's got the intensity. He's got the talent. He's got the mic skills. He is the complete package of what you would want in a champion. Still very young, but now he's going to have a chance to go and run on his own, and I think inside of a year, he's going to be on Raw or SmackDown. So now is the time for him to have a chance to be a champion, carry the title, and to see how far he can take it, to see how does he work with other people at his own experience level. That's going to be interesting going forward, because he's not going to be working with Tommaso Ciampa every week. He's not going to be working with the Johnny Garganos and the Pete Dunnes. He's going to have to work with people like Von Geek and Grayson Waller and Tony D'Angelo and people like that. You know, he now is the number one guy on that brand. And Tommaso Ciampa, he carried that belt with great pride and great honor. But I said it from the moment he won it back in September. This was just a temporary thing. This was to get the throne ready for the next generation. It was never a long-term plan to keep the championship on Tommaso Ciampa. He played his part. He did what he could to help get over Bron Breakker. And I am on the Bron Breakker bandwagon. When I look at this show tonight, this was a good show. You know, there weren't a lot of matches, which is typical if you look back at the old NXT TakeOver shows. They were never overloaded with too many matches. Usually kept it to about five, maybe the occasional six. I think we had about that same number of matches tonight. We opened strong with the unification of the North American title and the Cruiserweight title, a title that had no use anymore, a title that has been completely useless for a long time. That unification was needed. I could think of a whole bunch of other championships in this company on the main roster, especially that could be unified right about now. I thought that was a very good way, very hot start to the show. The six-man tag, I tweeted it out earlier. I said, this is the match that's going to steal the show tonight. And I think it did. The six-man tag, Riddle, MSK against Walter, Eichner, Bartel. Those guys went out there. And what do all six of those guys have in common? They are not part of this 2.0 era. This is not developmental. All six of those guys have experience outside of WWE and other promotions and on the independent scene, so it should be no surprise that they went out there and had the best match of the night. And then the main event, I thought, was very good. So looking at this card, I can't really say that this was anything other than a good show tonight. but with an outcome that I think we all could have seen coming from a mile away. Like and subscribe if you are not already subscribed to the channel. Super chats are open. If any additional ones come in, we've had a few. I will read them at the very end. We begin with that match I just mentioned for the unification of the North American and Cruiserweight Championships. We had Carmelo Hayes, the North American champion, one-on-one against Roderick Strong, representing Diamond Mine, the NXT Cruiserweight champion, title for title, unification match. I really like this match. I thought this was an excellent opener. Hayes caught Roddy with a nasty slingshot DDT on the ring apron. Roddy turned Hayes inside out with a lariat, heading into the first picture-in-picture break of the night. Roddy got him in the stronghold. Hayes broke free, and Roddy hit a backbreaker, crossed the knee for a near fall. Hayes hit a cutter of his own, tried to get the win, did not do it. Roddy hit an avalanche X-plex that looked like poor Carmelo Hayes. I mean, he tucked his head just in time. That could have ended very badly for him. I think even one of the announcers mentioned that it looked like he almost broke his frickin' neck. So that was a little scary. Hayes recovered, though, hit his giant leg drop off the top right across the back of Roddy's head. And that's all she wrote. Carmelo Hayes becomes the unified champion in an excellent match. Absolutely the right call. Carmelo Hayes, like Bron Breakker, is another one. This guy's got star written all over him. He's a guy that WWE should be building around for the future like a Bron Breakker. Carmelo Hayes is at that level. Carmelo Hayes is somebody who should be a major single star on the main roster in due time. So he was the right choice to go over here, and it was the right championship, as far as the North American title, the right title to go over. He is now officially the unified champion, the Cruiserweight title. Now, over the years, WWE has had light heavyweight titles. It's not the first time they've had a Cruiserweight-type title, but the Cruiserweight title in its current incarnation is about 5 years old. And it came about after the Cruiserweight Classic. And it was right around the same time that 205 Live debuted. 205 Live has been a dead, useless show for years. I don't even know why it exists other than potentially fulfilling television obligations on the international stage. I honestly do not know beyond that why the show even still exists. It is completely useless. And as such, the Cruiserweight title has been rendered useless. A lot of people who were in that Cruiserweight division, if you could even call it that division, were let go. Over the past year by WWE because they weren't big names, they weren't being used. So the idea of them even having a Cruiserweight title anymore, it's just sort of a relic of the past. It was absolutely the right move to get rid of it. And all it does is make Carmelo Hayes look stronger. You know, now he unifies them, he absorbs those two championships. It should just be the NXT North American Championship going forward. I am hopeful that is what it will end up being. I did mention on the podcast the other day this ridiculous match preview they had on WWE.com the other day that said who's going to walk out of New Year's Evil, the NXT North American Cruiserweight Champion. That doesn't even make any sense. There's no weight limits for the North American title. To have a Cruiserweight title implies that you're dealing with Cruiserweights. There's some kind of a weight limit. They did away with the weight limit recently anyway for the Cruiserweight title. It serves no purpose. And there's no need to retain the name. So hopefully it will simply be the North American Championship. But this was a very good match with the correct winner. We found out that the Dusty Classic is coming back yet again. The Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic kicking off. The men's tournament is in 2 weeks. And the women's tournament will follow next month. AJ Styles was out next for his confrontation, not a match. His confrontation with Grayson Waller, fresh off of his loss, his very decisive loss to Omos on Raw last night. Fans were chanting his name. He said that never gets old. He did admit, though, that he has some regrets. And one of those regrets is that when he came to WWE, he was one of the only ones who went straight to the main roster. He debuted in the Royal Rumble in 2016. Didn't spend a day in NXT. In fact, the only other NXT appearance he made was a few years ago, and I think it was with the Good Brothers. That's it. AJ was one of the very, very few who completely bypassed NXT, as he should have, And he says that he kind of has regrets about not being part of the NXT brand. He said he doesn't care if it's 1.0 or 2.0. Passion is what makes NXT run. He says he'll be damned if somebody tries to take that away from him. He brought up Grayson Waller, feeling that he's bigger and better than this place. He was cut off by Waller, who came out, said that Styles is throwing shade at him to cover up the fact that he lost to Omos on Raw last night. Waller said that the reason AJ lost is because he was too busy thinking about him. He didn't want to be on Raw last night because he didn't want to give AJ a reason to blame him for his loss. And AJ said, well, you know, you're right about one thing. I am hurting. I'm not 100% right now. But he also said that he's never had a singles match in NXT. And Waller threw some cold water on the idea of the two of them wrestling tonight. He goes, we're not on Styles time, we're on Waller time. And Styles said Waller needs to grow a sack and do something about it. Waller then all of a sudden teased that he was ready to throw down. He took his shirt off and then predictably said, no, we're not doing this tonight. He would prefer to have the main event all to themselves so they could be the focus and the highlight of the show next week. And the two of them ended up brawling. Styles got the upper hand after a Pele kick. He went for the phenomenal forearm. Waller rolled out of the way. So we now know why they never promoted this as a match. They were kind of tap dancing around it. AJ's going to pay him a visit. They're going to have a confrontation. Never actually said it was going to be a match. So they're trying to milk as many AJ Styles appearances as they can here on this NXT show, which is smart. I would do the same thing. If I could have NXT, you know, AJ on my show, if I were running NXT, I'd want him on the show every week. But it makes sense. You get him on the show one more time, you give them the main event. If AJ Styles is going to be wrestling for the first time in a singles match on NXT, it should be the main event. So they're going to have the main event of the show next week. They'll go one-on-one. And not only, you know, should AJ be in the main event, they clearly want Waller to be in the main event. They are positioning him to, at some point, be a main event level talent. Now, whether or not it's going to work or not, who knows, right? They try with people, they give up on them. Sometimes the people just aren't good enough, they fizzle out. You know, Waller has, you know, the gift of gab. He can talk. He's not bad in the ring. You know, I like that running cutter that he does from the floor into the ring. So he's not terrible, but they're really laying it on thick with this guy. Maybe a little too much in terms of trying to get him, you know, as much heat as possible. But the way he's been positioned on TV and making an appearance on Raw last week, they clearly see big things in his future. So these two should be in the main event next week. And then we have what I thought was the best match on the entire show. We had MSK with their Shaman. I don't know if you saw the news today. I think it was a report from, I believe it was Fightful, that said that Jeff Hardy was originally booked to be the Shaman for MSK and make a few appearances at NXT before he got released. So they had to scramble and have Matt Riddle film a bunch of pre-tapes and take the role that was going to go to Jeff Hardy. But we got Matt Riddle on NXT tagging here with MSK against Walter, Fabian Aichner, and Marcel Bartel of Imperium. This was Waller's first appearance inside the Nickelodeon zone. Remember the other night I asked you guys for some suggestions of what can we call this place? What can we call what used to be the CWC? We don't call the NXT zone. That's too fucking basic. So one of you suggested the Nickelodeon zone, and I kind of like that. That was one of the names that was suggested. I'm kind of going back and forth. I like the Nickelodeon zone, but I also like the Rainbow Room. Somebody said the Rainbow Room. I was in the Rainbow Room here in New York once before, actually for a client event. It was very nice. It's not quite as bright as this place is. But anyway, this was Walter's first appearance here in the Rainbow Room. Also slimmed down from the last time we saw him. He shed a few pounds. So Imperium comes out first to make their entrance, and they climb into the ring, right? And they're standing there, they're doing that pose, they put their hands behind their back, right? Like they're saluting, and they go to commercial, and they come back, and this is straight out of what you would see on Raw or SmackDown. So if you had any doubts about the influence, the main roster influence seeping into this show, and I'm not just talking about Matt Riddle making appearances. If you had any doubts about the influence of the main roster and those in the upper hierarchy of this show taking a more vested interest in NXT, they're shooting this show. I mean, it was similar before, but now it's like identical, right down to the way they format these shows. And that's not a good thing, by the way. But if that's the way WWE formats and produces their main roster shows, well, NXT is basically preparing these people for the way it's going to be on Raw and SmackDown. So I guess it kind of makes sense. Even if you don't like it, this is a baby version of Raw and SmackDown. And they're training these men and women. They're conditioning them to get used to the way it's going to be when and if they eventually get called up. So they come back and they go to a completely different segment, a pre-taped segment from the backstage area with the women. And we have Amari Miller, who is talking to Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter. They're all just kind of hanging around in the back. And Casey and Caden are talking about going after the women's tag team titles this year. Over comes Persia Parada and Indy Hartwell, who overheard this conversation. And they disagree. They took exception to this idea that they would be the women's tag team champions. They believe that they will be the women's tag team champions. And a challenge was issued to a match next week. Indy pointed out that Persia really loves handicap matches. You're just accepting these matches 3-on-2. And Persia says, look, you want to bring in a third partner? I'm more than happy to do it. He goes, what about her? And they look over and we see Tiffany Stratton on her phone, sitting on the side. She only first made her debut on NXT last week. She did not look very good in the ring because she's never done this before. She's still very new. So they say, what about you? Do you want to be our partner? And Stratton blew them off, and she was complaining to Daddy. She was on the phone with her daddy because she's a daddy's girl. She's daddy's rich little girl. That's her gimmick. And so off she went. When she up and left, though, we see that sitting behind her trying to get some nap time is Karen Q with her new gimmick. Since they did away with the whole Tian Sha Mei Ying character, she was 1,000 years old. They did away with that terrible gimmick. Now she is Wendy Chu. C-H-E, I believe it's spelled C-H-U. It might be C-H-O-O, like the train. I don't know. Wendy Chu is her new name. And I don't know if this is part of the gimmick or not. Persia Parada said, you know, who are you? And she said, I'm Wendy Chu. So I don't know if that was on purpose, where they're going to have everybody walk up to this woman and go, who are you? I'm Wendy Chu. And it's like a rhyming thing. I don't know. But she said her name is Wendy Chu. And, you know, she pulled the sleep mask down over her eyes. That's what we've seen this woman doing. She's been popping up, doing little cameos and segments for weeks where she's sleeping. Is she homeless? Did her landlord kick her out of the apartment? She couldn't afford the rent. She has no place to stay. We don't know. So I don't know if she's going to be the partner next week or not, but this was our formal introduction here to Wendy Chu on this show. They finally come back to the ring, and Imperium is still standing there. The music is playing. They're standing in the exact same pose that we saw them in 5 minutes earlier. So we're supposed to believe that this entire time, they have not moved a muscle. Their music has not stopped. They have been standing there waiting the entire time. It is stupid when they do it on Raw. It is stupid when they do it on SmackDown. It is stupid when they do it in NXT. I hate the way they format these television shows. It is dumb. Absolutely dumb. So like I said, I tweeted earlier, this was going to be the match of the night. This was going to steal the show. And even though I enjoyed the opener and the main event, I think I was proven right here. This was a match right out of old era NXT. It should be no surprise that it was the best match on the entire show. These guys have been around for a while. They've been doing this for a while. They're pretty good at this wrestling thing. This was Matt Riddle's first time in an NXT ring since May of 2020. Casey in the chat you make a very good point. Casey made a very valid point just now. He says, you know, Wendy Chu here is just preparing herself for her inevitable call-up to Monday Night Raw, getting some shut-eye. right? That's what most people do on Monday nights now when Raw goes on. They pull down the sleep mask and they take a nap. Or they go to bed early. She's just getting a head start. She's a lot smarter than I think we give her credit for. First time for Riddle in an NXT ring since May of 2020. And the people popped when he tagged into the ring at the same time as Walter and they had their first confrontation in the ring. Those two have had a lot of ring time together, going back about, three, four years. They wrestled in Evolve. I know they had a bunch of matches in progress, which I saw was just, they just made an announcement that they're going to be relaunching and they're under new ownership now. This is like a new era for progress wrestling. But these two had a bunch of matches during their time in progress. So this is not the first time for Matt Riddle and Walter sharing the same ring together. Riddle was kicking the crap out of him, but it only took one chop. Riddle could kick and kick and kick and kick all he wants. One chop is all it took from Walter to put down Matt Riddle. Riddle, a little bit later on, hit Walter at ringside with a penalty kick. And Riddle held the rope open for both members of MSK to come diving through. And at the same time, Riddle did a dive also. So a triple dive. All the baby faces landing on all three members of Imperium on the floor. Riddle hit Walter with a bridging deadlift German for a two count and teased an RKO. But he got distracted when the other Imperium members were attacking MSK. Walter powerbombed Riddle. Marcel Bartel tossed Riddle into a Fabian Aichner deadlift suplex. Fabian Aichner is, I've put him over before. I am a Fabian Aichner fan. I am an Imperium fan, but I am a Fabian Aichner fan. Going back to the first time I saw him in the Cruiserweight Classic, where he didn't look like no Cruiserweight, but he was flying around like one. That guy is a freak athlete. Very strong. So Riddle escaped a European bomb, hit Walter with a German, MSK hit Aichner with a Doomsday Blockbuster, and Riddle followed that with a Corkscrew Senton onto Fabian Aichner, and then he hit Marcel Bartel with an RKO out of nowhere for the win. A really fun match. Sets up MSK now, you would think, for a future tag team title match. And we got a glimpse of what we can expect in the future on the main roster one day in a singles match between Matt Riddle and Walter. Those two should be wrestling each other on the main roster, not in the Nickelodeon zone. But it was fun. I enjoyed this. Now, in the parking lot later on in the show, Riddle bid farewell to MSK. He hugged him. He said, "This don't consider this goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now." And he rode off on his scooter. MSK said, "We know what we need to do." As soon as they turned around, they ran into the Creed brothers from Diamond Mine. And the Creed brothers said that they're going to win the Dusty Cup this year. So I guess MSK is going to have to try to win the Dusty Cup to get a tag team title match. They're not just going to get one by virtue of this win tonight. They're going to have to win it like they did last year in the Dusty Cup. You'll notice, by the way, that they're being cheered way more than they were being cheered a few months ago in the building. I assume they got rid of Izzy's father, who supposedly has some sort of vendetta against Nash Carter for something that he tweeted a few years ago, and he was getting people to boo MSK. He must not be there anymore. Either that or they told him, "You better shut up or we're going to kick you out." Because now MSK comes out and they're getting big babyface reactions, you know? Maybe Riddle is rubbing off on them. But I noticed that. They're not being booed like they were being booed before. Mackenzie Mitchell was in the back. She was interviewing Joe Gacy and Harlan. And Gacy said that he and Harlan are going to win the Dusty Cup. So there you go. There's another team in the Dusty Cup. We had a pre-tape with Mandy Rose arriving to the building in a helicopter. She got the Charlotte Flair WrestleMania entrance. And Charlotte got the Ric Flair helicopter entrance. See, so they're just stealing it from everybody. But she got the Charlotte Flair WrestleMania helicopter entrance here for a television edition of NXT. Juju Gaming in the chat. Thank you, sir. He's been watching the podcast for years. Well, I've been doing this for a long time, so I appreciate you sticking with me for so long. I'll tell you what I didn't appreciate too much was this next match. Mandy Rose, Cora Jade, and Raquel Gonzalez triple threat match for the NXT Women's Championship. There was a kendo stick that was used during the picture-in-picture break because they just couldn't help themselves. Didn't even come into play. I think when they came back from the break, I don't remember them actually using it on TV. Maybe they did. Gonzalez had Mandy beat after hitting her Chingona bomb, but Jade broke up the pin attempt with a senton off the top. The camera just kind of caught Jade. I don't think the camera meant to pick up on the fact that she was up there. I think they wanted it to be a surprise when she came off the top and broke up the pin. But the camera caught her, so you knew she was going to jump off and break things up, and she did. Kind of reminded me of the finish to the triple threat at Armageddon in 08 when Jeff Hardy won the WWE Championship. Triple H hit the pedigree on Edge. He was taking his time, so you knew something was about to happen. But he went to go cover Jeff, or Edge rather, but we didn't see Jeff on top. They wanted it to be a surprise when he came off with the Swanton Bomb. So Cora Jade breaks up the pin, and that pissed off Raquel. And she perches Jade up on the top, and she was attempting to go for a superplex. Jade slipped out, shoved her to the floor. So she had the champion all to herself. Mandy Rose was over by the ropes, her back was turned, and Cora Jade saw an opportunity. And she snuck up behind her, and she rolled her up, or attempted to, schoolboy her over for the win. Instead, Mandy dropped down, hooked her legs forward, and pinned her to retain the title. You know, there was a time when I used to talk up the women's division a lot on my podcast. And you guys, if you listen to the full podcast, you know I have spoken a lot over the past few years about how strong the women's division, how deep the bench was in the women's division in NXT. Some of those women have since been called up to the main roster. Some of those women have since been released. And they still have a lot of women there, and a lot of talented women there. But just, you know, judging by what we see on television right now, there's definitely been a bit of a fall off. This is not a match that I would show somebody, by the way, to back up those statements about this being the best women's division anywhere in America on TV. I would not show them this match. This match was, you know, it wasn't awful, but it also was not the strongest women's match that we've seen out of NXT. I've seen better from Gonzalez. Jade is still, you know, very new. She's very young. She's only 20 years old. So she has a bright future ahead of her. But, you know, we've seen better, like I said, from Raquel. And Mandy is Mandy. Mandy looks fantastic. She's got the sex appeal that they want. And that's what they're doing. Look at the segments we've seen with Mandy Rose now for weeks on TV. The camera is showing, you know, 75% cleavage. And 25% her face when she cuts these promos. I know, we all see what they're doing. We all know the reason why she was the champion, made the champion in the first place. Shawn Michaels did an interview recently and said something to the effect of, you know, when he found out Mandy was available, he knew, there we go, there's our champion. Why? Because she's such a great wrestler? We all know why she's the champion. It's all about the sex appeal. She's the eye candy on this show. She's not a great wrestler. So what you're going to get from Mandy Rose when the bell rings is very limited. When the bell, you know, rings and the match is over and Mandy just is there to make appearances and to cut promos, she's fine. In the ring, she may be the weakest of all the people that they have at the top of the women's division. You got Io and you've got Raquel, right? You have other, even the other members of Toxic Attraction, Gigi Dolin. You know, Mandy is not there for her great in-ring skills. But these three working together in this match, this didn't really do it for me. It was better when it was Raquel and Cora. But there was something about this match that was off, and this was the weak link on the show. So we had the head of Andre Chase University. Andre Chase came to the ring. And he wanted to talk about his student last week risking life and limb to protect him from Harland because Andre Chase had a fill-in because Brian Kendrick wasn't there, I assume COVID-related, so we didn't get the match they advertised. And if you remember, Harland later on in the show had carried one of Andre's students all the way to the roof of the Performance Center and was threatening to throw him off to his death and was talked out of it. And he was talking about how heroic this student was, and he was grateful that Harland did not throw him off the roof last week because that would have been bad for enrollment. So this week he wanted to honor that student. who got a "You Deserve It" chant from the crowd. He was the first recipient, he said, of the Andre Chase University full scholarship. But before he could introduce us to this student, he was interrupted by Von Geek. And so here comes Von Wagner. And he comes out and he says, "Enough with the bullshit." I say that every week when I watch Von Wagner on my screen. He comes and they muted it, so you didn't hear the word bullshit, but, you know, he said bullshit. Ooh. So he said, "Enough with the bullshit. Now let the real star of NXT say something." And I was waiting for the real star of NXT to come out, but he never did. So he continued his promo. He says he hears the boos and the negative comments, but when he steps in the ring, all of a sudden he's our new favorite, and we all want to tune in to the, this is what he said. He says, "We all want to tune in to the Von Wagner watch party to see who he's going to dispatch next." The Von Wagner watch party. No, I think we need the Von Wagner search party to find some charisma for this guy. The man has negative charisma. It's amazing. It's an amazing feat. So he's going on and on and on, and he says, "You know, I'm everything the fans aren't, and the only people who matter are the ones who are making the decisions, and it's not you people." And Andre Chase chimes in and says, "You know, we can use this as a teachable moment." And as he says that, he gets mowed down by Wagner, Olympic slam for his trouble. Wagner saw a cheering section. There were a bunch of fans, planted fans, trainees, in the crowd wearing, university shirts for Andre Chase University. So he goes over to these fans who are behind these. They don't have the full plexiglass like they used to. I actually do like that as far as the setup in the building there. They have these very low, what look like plexiglass barriers, but you can reach over. So he reaches over, he reaches into the crowd and grabs a couple of planted fans and starts throwing them around as the cameraman is bobbing the camera up and down, just like they do on Raw and SmackDown. Every bit as nauseating as it is when they do it on Mondays and Fridays. They got to bob the camera up and down whenever something is going on. There's a big brawl. It's pandemonium. It's chaos. You know what I miss? And it would save us a lot of Dramamine pills if they did this instead of bobbing the camera up and down. You know what I miss? And I think AEW still does this. I miss it when there was a post-match beatdown after the match was over. Or there was a brawl that breaks out like we had here in this segment, right? There's some kind of chaotic situation unfolding. And the timekeeper is furiously ringing the bell. Why can't we go back to that? The furious ringing of the bell used to signal that there was something just chaotic going on in the ring or outside the ring. And the camera was still, you know, positioned like this. The camera wasn't going up and down, up and down, up and down. Just ring the bell over and over and over again to signal, you know, we need help. We need refs. We need agents. We need help. We need people coming out here. I'd rather they go back to that. It would literally save people a lot of headaches if they did that instead. But like I said earlier, they have to shoot the show just like they shoot Raw and SmackDown. So we get all the bullshit that comes with that. I looked away. So I don't need to be watching this. Now, later on, Von Geek was being escorted out of the building, and he walked right by Roderick Strong, who was laying on the trainer's table. He was icing down his shoulder. Diamond Mine was standing around. Ivy Nile never took her eyes on Wagner as he was being escorted out. She looks more badass than he does. The woman didn't say a word. She's literally half his size. She's pint-sized compared to him. She looks like more of a badass than he does. Then we came to the main event. Tommaso Ciampa against Bron Breakker, the rematch from Halloween Havoc for the NXT Championship, commercial-free. They announced earlier tonight this match would air commercial-free. And somebody mentioned, and I don't know if this is true, but somebody mentioned That Rick Steiner was there, that Rick Steiner may have been maybe in the back. They didn't mention him on TV, and he didn't come out. Supposedly, he was supposed to be at Halloween Havoc, and he no-showed. But he may have been there because his, you know, his son was going to win the championship. So, if so, that was very cool, if that's true. But they positioned a giant, I guess, Styrofoam X from the old NXT logo. The black and gold, right in the middle. So picture The Miz's entrance from WrestleMania 27, right? When he busted through that giant letter and he kicks his way through the X. It was very symbolic. I even wrote here, symbolism. Symbolism, the demise, the final nail in the coffin of the old NXT, of the old black and gold. And Poppy and all the skulls and everything that came with the old NXT. That was what Bron Breakker was doing. He was kicking out the old. He represents the new. Ciampa came out, paused in the aisleway, looked at the broken pieces of the X on the ground that he helped build for all these years. Ciampa hit an early twisting tornado dive out onto Bron Breakker like he was fucking Rey Fénix out there, flipping, doing the corkscrew out of the ring. Breakker caught Ciampa coming off the ropes into a spinebuster, went on offense at that point. He perched Ciampa up on the top rope, climbed up. And he was going for a top row Frankensteiner, but Ciampa slipped out, threw his legs, and got him in a tree of woe. Sliding basement dropkick connects, and Breakker falls to the mat. Ciampa set up for the fairy tale ending, but Breakker stuffs the attempt and hits another spinebuster, and then busts out a fucking standing moonsault. And this guy is, he's a lot of fun to watch. He's a lot of fun to watch, and they claimed he's 250, and he may well be. He may well be 250. He could be 230, 240. He's somewhere in that range. And to see a guy like that do a standing moonsault will never not be impressive. Breakker climbed up to the middle rope on the inside, and they zoomed in on his face, and you could tell that he was having second thoughts because he was remembering, and the announcers mentioned this, the botch when he slipped, which I don't believe was planned, but it was smart that they've kind of incorporated that into the story heading into this match. So it looked like he was having second thoughts. You know, he was a little worried that history might repeat itself. And that hesitation, that moment of hesitation gave Ciampa an opening to knock him down out to the floor. He got him back inside, and as Ciampa was hitting the ropes, he was coming off for some kind of a move, Bron Breakker cut this fucker in half with a spear. I mean, he just annihilated him with a spear and took down Tommaso Ciampa. Ciampa, at this point, I noticed, was bleeding from the side of his right eye. It looked like a cut maybe above the eye or on the side of the eye. So there was a little bit of blood. We got the yay boo spot, the slugfest between both guys. They were booing Breakker and cheering Ciampa. And Ciampa just started teeing off on him at that point. Breakker stopped his momentum with a Frankensteiner out of nowhere for a near fall. So Breakker gorilla presses Ciampa up for the finish, but Ciampa slips out. Got Breakker in the ropes, connected with the Willow's Bell. But Breakker kicks out of the pin attempt after the DDT. That was a good near fall. Ciampa locked on a single leg crab. Breakker got to the ropes. Ciampa left the ring and started pulling up the protective mat outside the ring, right in front of the announce area. He was going to finish off Braun. Breakker, though, picked him up and hit an Alabama slam. And he put Ciampa through the announce desk. But when Ciampa hit that, that cover they have on the front of the announce desks, he bounced, and I immediately thought of his neck. This guy had neck surgery, and he bounced hard off that announce desk, but the table did break. Back inside, Breakker hit the gorilla press into the power slam, had the match won, but Tommaso Ciampa got his fingertips on the bottom rope for the break. So there were a couple of good near falls here in this match down the stretch. Ciampa rolled out onto the apron. First, he was hugging the bottom rope. He would not let go. Then he rolled out onto the apron. When Breakker tried to climb out onto the apron after him, Ciampa used the middle rope to low blow him. And Ciampa pulled down his right knee pad. He connected with two straight knee strikes, hit the fairy tale ending. Did not get the win. Great near fall there. Did not get the win. Breakker kicks out. And at that point, you had to know what was going on. The fact that he kicked out of the fairy tale ending there, you knew what was about to transpire. Ciampa sets Breakker up on the top rope, and he's going to go for the air raid crash. And Breakker shoves him off and hits the bulldog. just like Daddy. Actually, that's the move that he hit to Buff Bagwell that, you know, fucked up his neck and paralyzed him for a while. Remember that? That was a scary moment on Thunder back in the day. Was that back in 98? So he hits the top rope bulldog breaker, pulls down the straps. Now he means business. When a wrestler pulls down the straps, you know they mean business. And he locks on the Steiner recliner, and Tommaso Ciampa taps out. He submits. And Bron Breakker is the new NXT champion. Rest in peace, black and gold. The old NXT as we knew it now, finally, officially, is dead. Tommaso Ciampa holding on to that title, he felt like a relic of a bygone era. He has felt out of place as the champion of this brand for the last few months. And it was only a matter of time. I was in favor of putting the title on Breakker because it was only a matter of when, not if. And I am a Bron Breakker fan. Bron Breakker would have fitted great in the old NXT, the black and gold. Now, this idea that the old NXT was only indie guys that Triple H raided from the independent scene and raided from other promotions. You know, it was mostly populated by people who came in with experience, but, you know, you had newer people too. And to me, that would be the ideal. You keep the quality of the in-ring talent that you had previously in NXT, but you start doing a better job of mixing in some of these new faces, like a Carmelo Hayes, like a Bron Breakker. You know, one thing that Triple H did, they had these breakout tournaments. They only had two of them. In 2020, because of COVID, they didn't have one. But they had two of them. And, you know, that was the right idea. You can use something like that to introduce some of these newer faces. But you mix them in with the more experienced talent. That way, you've got this great roster of talent that the new guys and girls can work with. And then, inevitably, when you start calling people up to Raw and SmackDown, you want to have people who are ready, who are prime time ready, who have the experience. Look at who's on the WWE roster right now who they depend upon. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor. I mean, I can go on. Shinsuke Nakamura, the Intercontinental Champion right now. Apollo Crews. What do all of these people have in common? They wrestled somewhere else. Independence, Impact, Ring of Honor, whatever it might be. They came in with experience. They know what they're doing. They're really fucking good. They're the ones getting television time on Raw and SmackDown every week. Can you imagine if we had to sit through Raw and SmackDown every week with fucking Von Wagner and Andre Chase? Where would WWE be if they didn't have people like Owens and Balor and Rollins to lean on? What do you think? They made these people? They created Kevin Owens? They created Seth Rollins? I mean, you can find a few people like a Baron Corbin who didn't have exposure on the independent scene. Baron Corbin is a product of the Performance Center. If you put together a list of people who are products of the Performance Center, it's going to be a short list. And WWE would be in a lot of fucking trouble. So the way they just sort of blew everything up and disregarded the old guard was a slap in the face. And it was a slap in the face to the fans who were a big fan of that NXT. I think you could have met in the middle and just did a better job of starting to incorporate some of the newer faces and the younger faces. Instead of just blowing the whole thing up and starting from scratch and pretending that you're cool and you're hip. There is nothing cool about NXT. Not now. So this was the death knell for the old NXT as we know it. It's kind of been limping along for the last few months. You know, it's like that dying man, his last breaths. He still has breath in his lungs, right? He's trying to crawl, but, you know, he's dying. Tonight, he died. He couldn't crawl anymore. He breathed his last breath. But now it's the beginning of the Bron Breakker era. And we shall see how long it takes for WWE to completely fuck him up. As they have done to so many other people before him. I will be cheering and rooting for him because I want to see him succeed. A lot of really talented people they have in NXT right now who should be carrying this company 5 years from now. A lot can happen in 5 years. I will miss the black and gold. I will miss what Triple H built down there. It was a lot of fun to follow. I mean, the glory days were a few years ago. But I was still enjoying NXT. And now it's just different. There's positives to it. There's negatives to it. It's just different. But it just doesn't have that same vibe anymore. So, rest in peace, NXT. But congratulations to Bron Breakker. I thought that was a very good main event. And you people apparently feel the same way. 68% of you say this was a thumbs-up show, which it was. This was a thumbs-up show. Again, not a lot of matches on the show tonight, and there were three of them that were really good. The opener, the six-man tag, and the main event. That's a thumbs-up show. 31.6% of you called this a thumbs-down. Well, I'll say to you what people say when they get upset at me when I put these polls up and the outcome is not what they want. You're just a hater. You're just a hater, man. All right, let's get into your super chats here. See what you guys thought of the show tonight. If you want to send it a super chat, I will read them. And I want to thank everybody who joined me over the last few nights. It's been a busy weekend so far, and the week is not over yet. We had day one pay-per-view on Saturday. We had Raw last night, which I usually don't go live for, but we did Raw, and we did our little call-in show pilot for channel members, and then tonight, NXT, and tomorrow night is the first AEW Dynamite of the TBS era, and the rematch. We got one championship rematch tonight. We got another one tomorrow. The one tomorrow night is a lot bigger. Bryan Danielson challenges Hangman Adam Page. So I'm looking forward to that. I did watch night one of Wrestle Kingdom. I'm planning on watching night two tomorrow. I'm probably just going to wait until the weekend. I will review it. I'll give my thoughts on the Sunday podcast episode 738. But I finally got finished with Wrestle Kingdom at about 5 o'clock this evening. So took me a while to get around to it. I guess we'll have to do the same tomorrow. Naif Al-Safar, $4.99 Super Chat. Naif, I hope you are having a fine Tuesday night. Nick Grosso, $4.99. That finish was so overbooked. And with that, the black and gold is officially dead. I don't think it was overbooked. I mean, I actually thought, you know, the near falls were pretty good there down the end. I mean, I thought they were... they were well done. They had me convinced that Ciampa was going over, you know, on that one spot after he hit the fairy tale ending. For a second there, I thought, well, maybe they're going to wait and, you know, bring Breakker back for a third match and he'll win it there in a few months. It just felt like, just do it now. It's like pulling off the Band-Aid, you know? We all know the old NXT is dead. It's done. Breakker is the future. Just rip off the Band-Aid and be done with it already. Let's get this guy going. Let's heat him up. I don't know what happens with Tommaso Ciampa now. He doesn't feel like he fits at all into this new era of NXT. But he is so devoted to the brand. And I think so, at least in the past anyway, he was against going to Raw or SmackDown. Maybe he's had a change of heart since then. I just don't see there being a place for him in the new NXT. I don't know what you do with him. Griga, thank you, sir, for the $1.99. And we've got John Falchetta, $2 super chat. How long until Ciampa is future endeavored? That could happen as well. That could happen as well. I'm going to say he does not get future endeavored. You know, they supposedly wanted to keep Johnny Gargano, and he has not yet re-signed with them. I don't think they want to lose Ciampa, so I think he should be safe. Of course, nobody is really safe in that company, but I think he's safe for now. Rodimus Prime, $10 super chat. It was fun while it lasted with the black and gold brand, but Bron Breakker as NXT champion, I can dig it. I can dig it as well. Loki Agatho with the $10, just showing support as always. Not really a fan of this Skittles version of NXT. Mainly keep up with it now, like most of WWE, through your reviews and YouTube clips. Thank you for everything that you do. You mean you don't like NXT from the Rainbow Room? I can't imagine why. Liquid Sheringan, $10 super chat. Big Swole's comments about diversity, I think, were tone deaf. AEW is still developing young talent. All their main event stars came from other companies. Also, Tony Khan did himself no favors. Casey says, Solomonster, you got to put the classic IWGP title on that wall back there behind me. I love that. I love that belt too. Do they even sell that IWGP belt? I've seen some knockoff versions, I think, on eBay, but I'm not going on eBay. I'd love that. I love the previous version of the IWGP belt. To me, that was the classiest looking championship in modern day wrestling. I was very sad when they did away with it. Liquid again. Also, I know you are pitching Ruby as the TBS champion, but Britt's title run is coming to an end sooner than later. Give the TBS title to Jade and give her a monster run. Well, I mean, AEW may feel the same way. I just think that, Thunder Rosa and Britt, that's going to be the direction there. It has to be. It should be. But I don't see a title change there for at least a couple more months. I mean, I could see it at Revolution in March, but maybe they even hold off until Double or Nothing in May, before she drops it to Rosa. I don't know that it'll happen as quickly as you think it will. Nick Grasso. The six-man tag and the Strong Hayes matches were the highlights of the night, but the women's match was mid. And Cora Jade needs to go back to the PC. She's at the PC. She's literally at the PC. These shows every week are from the PC. They don't leave the building. They don't even do live events anymore. So basically what you're saying is Cora Jade needs to go into the room next door. That's what you're saying. She's also very young, so you got to give her time to develop. She's only 20 years old. She got signed when she was 19. It's like Paige. They signed Paige at a very young age. Dry chicken without flavor. In my opinion, I consider Big Swole's comments about diversity and structure in AEW as a wake-up call. Dry chicken without flavor. If I'm Tony Khan, I would consider adding Mark Henry, Thunder Rosa, Excalibur, and Chris Jericho as part of the booking decisions with the EVPs. That is a terrible idea. Not that Mark Henry or Thunder Rosa would have creative influence, but you're just throwing names out there. What you're going to end up with is a whole committee of people who are butting heads trying to come up with different ideas. You're going to have a booking committee the size like what WWE has with all their writers now. I think you want to keep an open policy where people can feel free to pitch ideas. But at the end of the day, you have one or two people who have to decide what ideas are worth going with and which ideas suck. You want to give everybody the feeling that they all have a voice, not just a select few. Chris Jericho being, by the way, part of that group gives me some pause. I'm not sure about that. Amiibo. Otherwise, we may end up with more Mimosa Mayhem matches. Amiibo, what's going on, Amiibo? I missed you in the Raw stream last night. I know you missed it because YouTube dropped the ball and didn't notify you, but I'm glad you're here tonight. Steven Larson mentioned you belonged on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling podcasters. You're number one, as always. By the way, I didn't watch how many oohs tonight. Not too many. There weren't too many. He was more well-behaved. That was very nice of Steven Larson to say if they said that. So you'll have to tell them I said thank you. I consider them in high esteem as well. Steven Larson are two of the good guys in the community. I've met them before. They're good people. Uffman Entertainment found a fan cam on Twitter of Rick Steiner joining his son in the ring after cameras went black. Cool moment. So there you go. Rick Steiner was, in fact, there. It's too bad they didn't put that on TV. But apparently we're not allowed to know that he is related to Bron Breakker. It's like a big secret. It's like when Jerry Lawler wouldn't tell anybody on TV that he was the father of Brian Christopher, even though Jim Ross would needle him about it on TV every week. It was kind of like an open secret. Jamin John, thoughts on Batman and Robin 1997? Not my favorite of the Batman movies. Those are my thoughts. Uffman, also, I'll be live at Prudential Center tomorrow night for Dynamite. Well, very, very cool. You're going to be in Newark, which is not very cool, but it's very cool that you'll be at that AEW show. It's probably going to be a fun night. I think they're going to put together a big show for their big TBS debut. Dry Chicken, I hope to see AEW and Impact make appearances at the Tokyo Dome for Wrestle Kingdom whenever the pandemic dies down. So basically never. They will never be at the Tokyo Dome. Is that it? Okay, good. I think we're caught up. I got all your messages in there. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of the Super Chat love. I know usually it's an AEW thing. But I'm in a good mood tonight, so why don't we go to, you know where we're going. Oh, you know where we're going.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
It is be the Booker time here on the NXT New Year's Evil stream, where we book our own WrestleMania main event. Always have a good time doing this. We have a little fun. We book a little action here. See what we come up with. We got Braun Strowman, Adam Scheer, the former Braun Strowman, Mr. Raquel Gonzalez, for those who don't know. What a power couple that is, huh? Braun Strowman and Raquel Gonzalez. Let's see who Braun Strowman is going to be squaring off with in the WrestleMania main event. It will be Braun Strowman and... what the fuck? Zinfamous. That is offensive, Zinfamous. What are you implying here by having Tamina as part of that animation there? By the way, what a horrible fucking match that would be. That is now the winner for the worst Be the Booker match. And I thought Stephanie McMahon and Rosa Mendez was terrible. We have a new champion here. Holy shit. Well, do we even need to do the women's one? I guess we will. I mean, that's going to be hard to top as far as WrestleMania main events go. I was not expecting that. Well, that was a swerve. No, I'm not doing that over. You can't beat that. I'm not even going to try to top that on the men's side. Let's just go over to the ladies here. We got Becky Two Belts here, who actually will be in one of the WrestleMania main events this year. I don't know if you picked up on the language in the commercial. They have all these WrestleMania commercials and Royal Rumble commercials. So they have the Royal Rumble commercial, and they're saying, you know, you have the two Rumbles, and in both cases, the winner goes on to the main event of WrestleMania. So one of the nights will be headlined by the women, and she is very likely going to be in one of those main events. But let's see who Big Time Bex is going to be stepping into the ring with. Let's see. We got Becky Lynch one-on-one against Sable, former WWF Women's Champion. Truly one of the biggest attractions of the Attitude Era. Shitty wrestler. But as WrestleMania main events go, on an attraction level, as far as like a big match, Becky Lynch and Sable would be a pretty damn big match. Sable in her prime. I'm gonna leave that. I think that's actually a big match for a WrestleMania main event on the women's side. There you go. Boy, we're getting Be the Booker off to a very, very interesting start here. Braun Strowman against Tamina. Wow. What more can be said? I really can't say anything more than that. Got some more super chats here. We have Biblical Adrian. Which wrestler from the Triple H era of NXT should have been NXT champion that never held it? I think Velveteen Dream or Kenta could have been a good champion. There is not a doubt in my mind that Hideo Itami, you got to get it right. There's no doubt in my mind that Hideo Itami would have been the NXT champion in 2015 if he didn't hurt his shoulder. You know, when they had that Beast in the East special, it was Balor and Owens, I believe. That would have been the night, I think, that Itami would have won the NXT championship. I've always felt that way. There's not a doubt in my mind. The timing would have been right. The right place for it. Would have gotten a huge reaction. But then in May, somebody heard him. Remember in the parking lot? Kevin Owens walked by and said, "Oh, that's a shame." And he was never the same after that. He was gone for a long time. I think they fucked up his surgery. He had to have another one. He was gone for like 18 months or something. And he just never recovered from it. So, I mean, as far, you know, Velveteen Dream was on his way. He was on his way, and things didn't exactly work out for him. I'm kind of sad that, you know, Tyson Kidd, there was a period where Tyson Kidd, when he and Natalya came down from the main roster back to NXT, they were great. They had this great run on the NXT brand. I don't remember if it was 2014 or 2015. It might have been 2015. But I think there could have been a time where maybe even Tyson Kidd could have had a run briefly as the NXT champion. I think most of the key people that I would have wanted to have the championship had it. You know, Joe had it, Balor had it, Owens had it, Zayn briefly had it, probably not for long enough. But yeah, as far as Itami, it's just a shame, you know, the way things worked out for his run there. I can't even really put all the blame on WWE. You know, the guy just had injury problems. You know, what do you expect them to do? It happens sometimes. Dr. NXT Scorpio, if you told me a couple of years ago that Evil would leave LIJ and put on boring matches with the same old crap, I would say you just got to let it play out. So far, I like how it's playing out. LOL. Man, I got to tell you, heel Evil fucking sucks. He is the worst thing about those New Japan shows when I watch it. Ever since that heel turn, I mean, that match from earlier this morning at Wrestle Kingdom, I won't even get into the results here, but the match with Ishii, boy, you know, it takes a lot to not have a good match with Tomohiro Ishii. And all the interference and all the bullshit. And, you know, the biggest thing about it is right now, In Japan, and like at the Tokyo Dome shows, you're not allowed to make noise. You can only clap. So the crowds are very quiet. But yet they send Evil out there. And his House of Torture, or whatever the hell, which is a very appropriate name, by the way, for this group. Every segment I see them in, it's like fucking torture. But you send them out there to get heat. Oh, we'll get heat. You're getting heat in front of a crowd that's not allowed to chant and cheer and boo. They can't say anything. All they can do is clap. So what you end up with are people just sitting on their hands doing nothing. Does nobody think these things through? Absolute fucking dirt worst part of New Japan programming when I tune in now is whatever the hell Evil is doing. Absolutely fucking sucks. Paul Heyman. Does Grayson Waller bring the cool back into wrestling? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Grayson Waller, I mean, we got another boom period coming with Grayson Waller on top, man. Come on. Doesn't the guy just exude cool when he comes out? And with the Cruiserweight title change, could you see Chris Lindsay moving to the main roster and becoming Vince McMahon's personal accountant? I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. I prefer Ira Goldberg. The Rock's old accountant. He should be Vince McMahon. The Rock has made a lot of money since then. Remember The Rock's personal accountant that he talked about before Goldberg came in? When people were chanting Goldberg at him and they were ruining the big surprise of Goldberg making his debut. He goes, "Why are you talking about The Rock's accountant? Ira Goldberg." I've been using him now for years. Ira's a great guy. Ira's a great guy. Always looking out for me. Dried chicken without flavor. AEW would get heat if Cody Rhodes wins the Casino Battle Royale to get around the stipulation. I said, if Cody ever really goes more down the heel road, it's very easy to, you know, get people to hate his fucking guts if he goes back on his word and finds a way to get a shot at the AEW World Championship. I think that would be a very clever way around that. Put evil on Raw. We have evil on Raw every week. That whole show is evil. They don't need evil on Raw. Raw is evil. Anyway, Wrestle Kingdom Night 2 kicks off in a few hours. And I will be tuning into that at some point tomorrow. Likely will be waiting, like I said earlier, likely I'm going to wait until the weekend, episode 738. And I'll have a review for both nights. I'll give my thoughts on Wrestle Kingdom. I will say that that main event last night was, despite the circumstances and despite the crowd conditions being what they are because of COVID and the limitations and everything, and it really just doesn't feel like Wrestle Kingdom, which is really sad. That main event was a Wrestle Kingdom main event. That is one of the reasons that I am such a big Okada fan. To me, there is nothing better in wrestling than the final few minutes, the home stretch of an Okada main event, especially an Okada Tokyo Dome main event. Right now, there's nothing better. I love it. That was a main event worthy of a Wrestle Kingdom show. What we got last night with Okada and Shingo, two of the very best in the entire world. Dr. NXT Scorpio. Ironically, I'm about to watch Evil against Ishii after this review. I fell asleep during the Evil and Ishii match. Well, good luck with that. You'll have to let me know what you think of that match. I did not think much of it. Kenny Olivier is the greatest. You know, I picked Bryan Danielson as my wrestler of the year. Kenny Omega was right behind him, though. It was tough. It was either Danielson, Omega, or Roman Reigns. Omega, unlike Danielson, did not take part of the year off. And he did that with all kinds of injuries and a bad shoulder, so I was thinking, well, do I go with Danielson because he did take the summer off? Omega worked the entire year straight through, wrestling in different promotions with different championships. I still went with Danielson, but Omega had a hell of a year, especially for somebody who was all banged up like he was. Paul Heyman, though I never asked him, do you think this version of Brock Lesnar would be more open to working with Matt Riddle? I think Brock would be willing to work with anybody he thinks he can make money with. But apparently he made it very clear to Matt Riddle that he was not going to work with him, and I take him at his word. So I certainly don't see Brock Lesnar working with Matt Riddle, you know, the current character that he's doing right now on Raw, all the goofy shit. So no, I don't think Brock has changed his, although they are now on the same brand. I don't think Brock has changed his mind. But I haven't asked him either. I had his number in my phone and I lost it, and so I can't pick up the phone and ask Brock myself. But if I were to ask him, my gut tells me that he would, first of all, he would say, fuck off, I don't know who you are. The second thing he would say is, no, I'm not working with Matt Riddle. Tomorrow night is Dynamite. Like I said, we have the World Championship match with Hangman and Danielson. We have the finals of the TBS title tournament, Jade Cargill and Ruby Soho. Lucha Bros defend the AEW Tag Team titles against Jurassic Express. So that's not even the whole card, but those are the key matches tomorrow night. Thursday night, I will finally have a chance to breathe and not work, which is rare. Friday night, we have the SmackDown Rampage Super Stream. Saturday night is Battle of the Belts, the one-hour special on TNT, which I believe is 8 p.m. Don't hold me to that, but I believe it's an 8 p.m. start. And then episode 738 on Sunday, very likely going to be the prediction show. I will run down all the predictions from last year, what I got right, what I got wrong, and we will do predictions for 2022. Plus Wrestle Kingdom thoughts and all the other news of the week. So I want to thank you all for tuning into all these streams so far. You better be right back here tomorrow night and hang out with me after Dynamite goes off the air. And that's all I got. I'm all tapped out. I got to go get some sleep. So be well, stay safe, and I will see you back here for Dynamite, the big debut on TBS tomorrow night. Till then, take care, guys.